What a great privilege to be back in San Angelo, Texas. We love this area, love West Texas. It's hot here, but you add 90+% humidity where I'm from and it's miserable over there. So either way you shave it. I appreciate the prayers, Brother Randy Scott, earlier. Hopefully I'll have some things to say about how to be comforted in this day and age, as Christians especially, dealing with the choices we have to make and the opportunities of freedom that we have as Americans. I also appreciated the prayers by both of the men to encourage whoever is in this pulpit to preach from the Word, because that's all that matters. I do have somewhat of a thing that may be a little bit more lighthearted. We drove into town yesterday, but we came to your area primarily because of the Discipleship University that they conducted in Dripping Springs, Texas. And we've tried to take our kids and encourage them to things like that. Well, I got to spend a day and a half with your future preacher, pulpit preacher, Mike Bonner. Mike and I are good buddies. And he always has a way about him that will bring you down to earth. And sometimes we as preachers speak accommodatively, and so I got to rub a little bit on him, and I said, you know, Mike, I'm going over to San Angelo, and I'm going to wax your pulpit. And I thought I had him, you know. And he looked at me and kind of turned his head. That ain't my pulpit. That's Jesus' pulpit. I hope you're excited about Mike Bonner, because I am. He's a great man, great friend. He helped us in Malvern, Arkansas for a couple of years. We invited him to preach for us to come and do a little bit of work outside of the pulpit. And he's a good man, good friend. And I am excited that he's going to be in San Angelo, Texas. I know that 5th and Grape and Abilene is going to miss a good man. And so y'all are to be encouraged, I hope. Let's talk about prayer. I want to discuss with you what I hope will encourage you, something that you and I as Christians, we have that the world doesn't have. The righteous have, but the unrighteous do not have. Psalm 86. I'd like to call your attention to that psalm, and I want you to think about a righteous man who was not a perfect man. He was a king of a nation of people. He was a righteous man oppressed by a wicked people and often his own people. But listen to some of the words of David as he pleads to the Lord God of heaven. Listen to what he says. Psalm 86, bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Brethren, the prayer of the righteous man that avails much is not something the unrighteous has or possesses for their good. According to the book of John, John writes that in John 9:31, those who are prepared to worship the Lord in righteousness and in sincerity, their prayers will be heard before God, but not the unrighteous. I realize we live in a day and age when it seems in this country, a great place, a great nation, a country that's been blessed with freedoms to evangelize, freedoms to be a Christian, a nation that came into existence because of people desirous of being able to worship freely without oppression. That's what started the movement in these United States, where people fleeing from oppression in Europe and other places to come to a land that would indeed grant them the opportunity to live and to thrive, so that they could be free. I know we live in a society that seems to have turned its back on God, on the very premises of which we supposedly want to stand for. For a motto that came into existence in the 1950s, "In God We Trust," and that was not the God of the Quran. That was clearly the God of the Bible that we just read from. That was the predominant concern. It doesn't mean that we've always done as a people that which is right. We've made a lot of mistakes. People make mistakes. You make mistakes. But we have a God in heaven who loves us. And He's blessed us with the privilege and the opportunity, if we are righteous and humble before Him, He promises to bless us, no matter what circumstance we may find ourselves in. Now listen to some things about prayer. This is a big subject, so I'm going to try to be simple as I watch the clock count down. Prayer, what is it? I think simply, if you look at it in concept, the idea is that of a prayer, an invocation, an intercession, a devotion. Sometimes referred to in the noun as a prayer service, where a group of people will come together and pray. Sometimes it's used in the sense of a hope or wish. I pray this happens. And we use that word prayer sometimes generically. And that's okay. I believe the Bible sometimes uses it in a general way. For example, you remember in 1 Timothy chapter 2, perhaps, talking about prayer, remember what the Apostle Paul told perhaps a greatly discouraged young man who was preaching in Ephesus at the time, and alone. A young unmarried man from what we understand and know. But he tells Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 2:1 and following, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." There seems to be four ideas in that one verse associated with the concept of prayer. I think it's simply understood when he talks about supplications, he's talking about needs, supplies. Pray for those things. I need my daily needs, my supplies. What are they? God, please provide those for me. But then he says next, prayers. And the word prayer there is the general idea for devotion. And it seems to be the idea that, again, Timothy would not lose his devotion to God Almighty. Stay devoted. Stay focused. The next one there, the word used is intercessions, and it clearly has to do with the idea of making intercession perhaps on behalf of other people. It really has to do with the idea of a relationship you have with God. You're pleading with God Almighty to have intercession on my behalf. I'm asking for a need, a supplication, and I am in a relationship with you through your Son, my Savior, kindred Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. I am your child. I am a son of God. An intercession is something then that we can depend upon. And then, of course, the idea there of giving of thanks. If you'll notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, something we should embed in our minds and our hearts as Christians. Christians have no place for unthankfulness. I want you to hear that again. Christians have no place in their hearts for being unthankful. I hope you understand that. But listen to what Paul says about it in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 and following. Pray without ceasing, and then look at verse 18. To the Christians at Thessalonica, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What Christian who has been saved from their sins and in no matter what circumstance they find themselves, in tribulation, in persecution, in distress, as Paul writes about often, what Christian can say, I am still not a conqueror or a victor in Christ Jesus, no matter what happens to me? You see, Christians, as Paul says, must give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, one of the things that is obvious in a society that is deteriorating morally and deviating further and further away from righteous causes and principles and standing up for just the opposite. You can study the book of Isaiah and all the prophets in particular, but when the people turn their back on God, they become, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, unthankful. They're not thankful for anything. They're greedy, they're needy, they want, and they can never be satiated. You see, that is indeed a sad fruit of where we are in many ways. An unthankful people. And yet, we as Christians must realize, I am blessed. I am thankful. Brethren, we have a lot to still be thankful for in this world, in this country. I pray, using the word pray, that we as Christians have not given up and decided that the fight is over. As Brother Raphael this morning, in his wonderful Bible class, he mentioned in studying from the Great Commission's account in Matthew 28, that passage reminded us that the Lord Jesus Christ will be with us until the end of this age. And now, until the end of this age, the Lord promises to be with us. We have to remember something. As long as we are making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that's the whole purpose of that statement. The Lord will be with us. Our role and our sole purpose in this life as Christians isn't about secular things and material things. It's about righteous things. It's about seeking and saving the lost. And that's our sole purpose. Whatever jobs or whatever means of making a living in this world we may have, we're to be thankful for those things and realize that that is just a means to an end, but for a greater and higher purpose. Which is always, as Christians, remember, seeking and saving that which is lost, making disciples of all nations. That's our whole purpose. When anything else becomes our purpose in life, then no wonder we become distracted. No wonder we become discouraged. No wonder we would begin to give up, because now we are fighting for the material and not the eternal. And there's no purpose in that life. Long-lasting purpose, eternal purpose. You see, prayer is a wonderful thing to the child of God. Listen to what Paul said again about prayer as he was in bonds are in prison. Colossians chapter 4, wonderful passage here on prayer. Colossians chapter 4, the apostle writes, and he says, let's look at verses 1 and following here. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Verse 2, it just kind of stands out almost. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. But look at the next passage. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Here I am confined in Rome for the very cause of Christ Jesus. And Paul is being able, he is able freely to write back to these brethren at Colossae and appeal to them to keep praying for him. And to pray with thanksgiving that he will continue to have doors of opportunity. Metaphorical reference to opportunities to freely preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, aren't you grateful to this day and in this world, in this country, we are able to preach the gospel still freely? What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? Are we actually doing it? Now think about that. Paul, interesting, inspired man of God, holy man of God, would write about this in several locations. You might want to compare 1 Corinthians 16:9. If you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 2:12, Philippians chapter 1, 22, he seems to have this concept of opportunity and praying for it in his mind always. A man who believed in God's providence, he believed in prayer. A man who was able to do the miraculous in the first century because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, but a man at the same time who didn't think every prayer was miraculous. He recognized there was a God in heaven that he served that was providential. He provided means just like he provided ways with Joseph and others in the Old Testament days. There's a God in heaven who is omniscient and knows all things, and you pray to him. He is the one that will open up the opportunities. He is the one that gives the increase. This is the Apostle Paul. Listen to Philippians 1 if you're still with me. Philippians chapter 1. Listen to verses 21 and following. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. The purpose of my being is to serve. It is needful for you. But I am not naive. I know every day of my life that heaven, to be with Christ, will be far better than this world. Always." You see, that's our prayer. That's our earnest hope. We have that. Not this anticipation of maybe it'll happen. No, heaven is an absolute. It will happen. We have to know that. But Paul had this constant longing in prayer for people, that doors of opportunity would be open. You know, one of the most depressing and dullest situations in life that I've experienced is when you feel like those opportunities are starting to kind of dry up and you start to wonder, where am I going next? What am I doing now? What's my purpose here? Most people that have clinical depression usually have that common thread of problems. They just don't feel like they have any purpose in their life. They've run out. Well, I'm here to remind you and to remind myself, as Christians, we always, as long as we have breath, We have purpose. But don't forget prayer. Now listen to this. I want to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 for just a moment before I narrow this down to the application part of my lesson. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and remind yourself, and of course me too, of prayer here and some purposes of prayer. I would probably take the position that means I'm still not sure, by the way, that Nero likely was the Caesar when Paul wrote this epistle. Don't know that for sure. But Nero was a bad man. Now remember that. Bad man. And yet, Paul would write to a young evangelist and say, you pray. And look at verse 2. You pray for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, that's our prayer. Prayer is the same today. I'm praying for you, President Obama, or President Hillary, or President Trump, or whoever we may get. I'm praying for you that I can hopefully live a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, now here's where we get the real purpose of it all, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I'm praying that prayer so that I have the opportunity to study the Bible with people in a peaceful and fertile environment where the mind can flow freely and the Word of God can have free course. It can run freely without constant fear and anxiety of the woeful conditions and oppressive ways of sin and unrighteousness. This is the Christian's prayer. Certainly the minister's prayer. Now think about it. It's not because I'm hoping somebody gets elected so I get more money. It's not because I'm hoping someone will tax the rich and alleviate the poor. That's not the reason we pray. We pray that men will be saved. That's the reason we pray. And there he tells us so that we can live this peaceable, quiet life where we can study the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ can get to them. Brethren, please realize how blessed we've been in this country for over 200 years to do that. Sure, we have problems, but quit talking about all the problems perhaps and start talking about the solution. Pray. Do something about it. Don't sit on your laurels. Go knock and talk to your neighbor. Brother Raphael, you had a wonderful lesson again this morning. Where are you, brother? And his point on listening to people is so key. We have to listen to people. But I'm afraid we're too tucked away in our cell phones and we're stuck here. Like Brother Randy and I were talking about earlier, how you doing? And you're looking at, were you really serious about that, or are you worried about your next text message? You see, that's kind of the culture we've developed. Kind of an inward, selfish, we're all into our little gizmos and gadgets, and we don't have time, really, for evangelism. But we want the benefits of being a Christian. No, I don't want to go to hell. I'll go to church. I'll show up 3 times a week because that's what the elders tell me to do. And they'll call me if I don't come. So I'll show up. But you see these ideas and these problems we're facing. Brethren, the point I'm trying to make is we are so blessed in this country. Please don't forget that. We still have opportunities. Don't quit fighting for what's right. Finally, I could go on in this text and talk about holy men of God or righteous men raising their hand, what that means. That's not talking about some emotional, unlogical way of doing things. It's talking about a show of authority, a show of willingness, holy men raising up their hands, and so on and so forth. It's a concept. It's a principle. But I want you now to listen to one more text as we will begin to summarize. Go back to the book of 2 Thessalonians. And I found this passage to be very encouraging as I think about what I'm praying for and what I hope for. Chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, really, he appeals to prayer. And he prays for two things. He asks for two things here in chapter 3, verses 1 and following. And I want you to think about what our job today is when we pray as Christians, what we do. Listen to what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We'll keep reading just for a moment. Those are the two points right there. The two points. Number one, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. And number two, that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. That's what Paul asked for. I couldn't talk about all the topics on prayer if I even wanted to. Probably in a lifetime. You couldn't have one lectureship and summarize every prayer in the Bible. But this passage right here is a very specific passage on some things we can maybe think about and will help us today and in the future. Listen to verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. We'll stop there. There's two things the Apostle Paul, as I mentioned, is asking for us. You think about prayer today. Perhaps we ought to quit thinking about the person who's going for president and think more about our prayers directed toward God and the decision that will be made in November for which candidate will provide a freer course or will help enable a freer course for the Word of God to be able to flow. And whether you vote or not, that's your freedom and that's an expediency that's yours. But I do want to say something to you. Not very many countries allow that freedom like we still have in this country. I'm just trying to help you with principles to help settle your weary hearts, as I'm doing the same for myself. I am praying for the person who is going to be in place that will allow for the Word of God to have freer course in this world. In other words, I don't want the person who I deem to be wicked and evil, who's going to continue to put a noose around the Word of God and shut us down and not allow us to speak. I don't want people here who are going to constantly suppress righteousness. Okay? Number one, please keep that in mind. That's the Christian's motive. Number two, sure, the Apostle Paul, if you go back to Acts 17 when he was in Thessalonica, it's interesting, he gets run out of Thessalonica by wicked men. And think about it. He's writing back to Christians who were still in Thessalonica who they had converted or helped convert and who were faithful. But you know, he wasn't there. They ran him out. And it's in verse 11 of Acts 17 that he says, those noble Bereans, they're more noble than those up in Thessalonica. Because the Bereans were receiving the Word of God daily and searching the Scriptures. Now, Paul must have had an impact on some in Thessalonica because listen to what he says again. Go back to 2 Thessalonians 3 and look at what he says in verse 3 and following. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. There were some faithful there. But then Paul does say in that second point, continue to pray for us that we be delivered from these wicked, inhospitable men who will not allow the Word of God to permeate their hearts or the hearts of other people. Pray that we be delivered from that, because what we seek is the salvation of all souls, Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free, because all can be one in Christ Jesus. But outside of Him, all are lost. That was His simple motive. So I ask you this morning to consider your prayers. James says in James 5:16 that the effectual, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word effectual is interesting there. It's the word energeo in the Greek. It's where we get our word energy in the English. There's something about that. Now, there's different ideas, and I certainly have already said that the miraculous age has ceased. The prayer there is not miraculous. The idea may be that it's a fervent, energized prayer, a very convicted prayer, a person with a lot of sincerity and conviction and faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. That's very likely what he's talking about there. The fervent, energeo, effectual prayer. But I want you to remember that. It's effectual. God recognizes that. And it avails much. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul says to those at Thessalonica, interestingly, that when they had received the Word of God, they had received it not as it was the mere words of men, but as it was and is in truth the Word of God that effectually, and there's that same word, effectually worketh in you. So I'm going to close with that thought regarding prayer. The Word of God is effectual. It possesses energy, energeo. It works in you. We need to pray, brethren. We need to keep praying. But we need to keep fighting. We need to keep pushing forward. We never retreat. I've always had kind of a problem with that. Let's go on a retreat. Why don't we just go eat some barbecue and have a good time? Why do you have to call it a retreat? I'm not retreating from anything. Anyway, I understand. I'm not a radical. But nonetheless, I'm not retreating. I'm running to the fight. The armor's on the front, not on the back, right? Brethren, keep pushing forward. And as Christians, pray. Do you believe God will bless you? If you're a Christian, you believed Him when you obeyed the gospel. You yielded yourselves in an obedient faith to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. To come out of that watery grave a new creature. A person born again. You believed that, didn't you? Well, keep on praying. And believe that He'll bless you. Because He will. No promise in the Bible that He's going to bless us with material prosperity. If we enjoy material prosperity as Christians, I would like to give thanks unto God and realize that now I've got a lot more to be a steward over, and a lot more to manage, and a lot more challenges. And some people might need to get rid of some of that stuff and think about where they are. But I don't know. I don't know where you are today in your life. Are you a New Testament Christian would be my first question. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins? You made your mind up to follow the one who is the only one who can save you from your sins. No matter what the world is saying, there's only one. That's Jesus the Christ. He's the only man that's ever gone to a cross, been crucified, gave himself up willingly. He didn't have to do that. But he did to show humility and to be a perfect example of servitude and sacrifice. And so crucified on that cross, He bled, and He gave up His own spirit, and He died. His spirit, God in the flesh, departed that physical body. And that physical body is the only body that's ever been laid in a tomb and by itself was resurrected because He is God. And He re-entered that body and He came out of that tomb 3 days to show me and you an example that one day He's coming back. And that's the proof. That's the evidence. And He'll be back. And when He does, it won't be to reign on this earth. It'll be to burn this earth up. So again, while we have time, we're to be praying and serving the Christ and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So my question again, have you been baptized? Have you been immersed in the water? Have you come out of that water knowing, understanding you're a new creature in Christ, a Christian? Now you can pray. The benefits of prayer to God are yours to possess and to keep you all the days of your life as a child of God. I just simply wanted to encourage you this morning to keep praying. Perhaps there's one here, though, that needs the prayers of the congregation. For those here to pray for you. And certainly the elders are ready to do that and help you in any way. This is the invitation of the Lord. If we can help you in any way, why don't you let us know then as we stand and sing.